Heavenly Father, we are so thankful tonight and for the blessings of heaven that you continue to bestow upon us. We're thankful, Lord, for the opportunity you have given us to study your divine word of truth. Pray, Lord, that our hearts are ready to receive with meekness your engrafted word, which is able to save our souls. Lord, also this evening we mourn with those who have lost loved ones, those who have been afflicted by the coronavirus, those who have passed by other means. Will we say a special prayer tonight for also our brother Johnny McDonald for the passing of his wife, Charlene, faithful sister who worked with Brother Brooks and myself on many campaigns. Pray, Lord, that you be with that family at this time, in this time of bereavement. Comfort their family in this time of need. Lord, we know that you are the God who has blessed us with all that we have and demonstrated how much you loved us by giving us your only begotten Son, Jesus. Pray, Lord, that we never take his sacrifice for granted. Pray, Lord, that we never neglect the opportunity you've given us to hear the truth this evening. In your Son's name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Brother Plunder. I'm Brother Tommy Brooks, the host minister of this nationwide gospel meeting call. We're very thankful to have each and every person on the call tonight. If you're on the call and not a member of the Church of Christ, you are a very honored guest. You're the VIP of our call. And we now ask you to take your Bible, open it up, and get you a pen and paper, and get ready to take notes. As I speak, we'll talk about what you must do to be saved. You will know that when he's finished, that's for sure. Our speaker tonight is in the person of Brother Randy Key. Brother Key is one that preaching the gospel. We're so thankful to have him on. He preaches for the Humboldt Church of Christ. I hope I pronounced that right, in Humboldt, Tennessee. And he's a great man of God. We're so appreciative to have him on. I call also one of the instructors for 9 years for Georgia School of Preaching. So without any further ado, Brother Key, we've assigned you the topic tonight. The theme is speaking about the same thing. Your topic is the God of Hope. Talk to us about that, Brother Key.
Well, Brother Tommy, I appreciate the invitation and the opportunity to be one of your speakers in this effort. And tonight's assigned subject is the God of Hope. This phrase is found in Romans chapter 15 at verse 13. God is called the God of Hope. You know, the Bible says Jesus is our hope. 1 Timothy 1 and verse 1. It is through the scriptures that we have hope. In Romans 15, verse 4, and Paul says there is one hope in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 4 through 6. In Colossians 1, 5, Paul says our hope is laid up in heaven. This hope is described in the Bible as a good hope. 2 Thessalonians 2 and verse 16. And in Titus 2:13, it is called the blessed hope. Again, in 1 Peter 1 verse 3, it is called a lively or living hope. Interestingly enough, Paul says we are saved by hope in Romans 8 and verse 24. In what sense does hope save us? Hope saves us because it sustains us. When we become Christians by placing our faith in Jesus Christ and repenting of our sins and confessing our faith that he is the Son of God, and then based on that confession, we are baptized in water for the remission of sins. If you're a Bible student, you know that Bible baptism is immersion. Paul says it's a burial in water, Romans 6, 4. And we're raised to walk in newness of life. But Paul says we are saved by hope. In what sense does hope save us? Hope saves us by sustaining us all the way to heaven. Our hope is laid up in heaven, Colossians 1:5. Paul says that hope can be the anchor of our soul. It is so powerful it can be the anchor of our soul. Hebrews chapter 6, verses 18 and 19. The Bible teaches we can have the full assurance of hope in Hebrews 6, verse 11. I want to come back to that towards the end of the lesson, the full assurance of hope. But the Bible says God is the God of hope. So I want to focus on the God of hope, the God of the Bible tonight. That's my assigned topic. There are over 130 references in the Bible, in the King James Bible, with reference to the word hope. And so there's more in the Bible concerning this word than most people might think. The Bible teaches us very clearly that hope is a part of sustaining us as we live each day the Christian life. Now, let's get a working definition of what hope is. Hope is desire plus expectation. I want you to understand that very clearly, because sometimes we can actually desire something we never expect to get, or we will hope for something that we will never expect to get. So it's desire plus expectation. We might expect to receive something, but we never receive it. But in the Bible term hope always refers to both. It is something that we desire, but it is also something that we expect to have one day. This is why the Bible says we are saved by hope. It is not only desire, it is desire plus expectation. The Bible says Christ is in us, the hope of glory, Colossians 1 and 27. And going back to our previous passage here, the Bible says we can have hope, but we can have the full assurance, not a small portion, but the full assurance of hope. And at the end of my lesson, I will come back to that passage in Hebrews 6, verse 11. But let's speak make some points this afternoon, this evening, about God. My assigned topic tonight is the God of hope. There are four terms that I want you to consider about the God of the Bible. First of all, the Bible says God is the God of creation. Number two, he is the God of revelation. Number three, he is the God of redemption. And number four, he is the God of judgment. I suggest to you this evening, you can read from Genesis to Revelation and basically sum up what the Bible teaches about God and how he has worked to save us and bless us. You can summarize what the Bible says about God around these four marvelous terms: creation, revelation, redemption, and judgment. I don't have time this evening, of course, to talk about each one of these in detail, but the Bible says God is the God of hope. Well, let's study further about that. Because God is the God of creation, the Bible says he spake and it was done, he commanded and it stood fast. Psalm 33, verses 6 through 9. And of course, if you're a Bible student, you know that God created the universe and everything in it, including man, the crown of his creation, in 6 days in Genesis 1. He rested on the seventh day. And so God is the God of creation. Every house is built by some man, Hebrews 3, verse 4. But he that built all things is God. Through faith, we understand the worlds were framed by the word of God, Hebrews 11, verse 3. And so God is the God of creation. He created the universe. He created man. He created the world and everything in it. The God of creation. Because God created the universe and everything in it, he certainly can save us and give us the hope that we need each day to sustain our salvation. So he is the God of creation. Number two, the God of the Bible is the God of revelation. God not only is a creator, he is the God who speaks. In Hebrews chapter 1, you have this great statement: God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, but hath in these last days spoken unto us through or by his Son. And so God is the God who speaks, and he speaks through his Son. He sent his Son to save the world, to be the Savior of the world, 1 John 4 at verse 14. And Hebrews 1, verses 1 and 2, he speaks to us through the Scriptures. He speaks to us through the Bible. The Bible is the written revelation from God. The Old Testament, Moses through Malachi, from Genesis to Malachi. The New Testament, Matthew through Revelation. The Old Testament is a product of the Holy Spirit as he inspired Moses and the prophets to write the Old Testament. The New Testament, of course, the Holy Spirit guided the apostles and prophets to write the New Testament. Four apostles, Matthew, John, Paul, and Peter, and four prophets, Mark and Luke and James and Jude. These eight men were inspired by the Spirit over a period of about 30 or 40 years to write the 27 books of the New Testament. And so the Bible has been given to us by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, and it has been providentially preserved down through the centuries. And so God is not only the God of creation, he is the God of revelation. Both of these points are very important. If we understand that God is the God of hope, he is the God of hope because he created everything, and the God who spoke this universe into existence can certainly sustain us as we live each day our Christian lives and take us to heaven one day. He is the God of revelation. He speaks to us in a way that we can understand. Did you know the average word in the King James Bible is about 5 letters long? God intended for us to understand his will. In Ephesians 5 and 17, be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. God expects us to read and study the Bible and understand it. And God is the God of hope because he is the God of creation. He is infinite in his power. He is infinite in his wisdom, and he is infinite in his love. He is the God of creation. But not only that, he speaks to us. He speaks to us in words that we can understand. Listen to this passage in Ephesians 3:3-5. Paul says, How that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in a few words, whereby when you read you may understand my knowledge and the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. And so the God of hope, the God that gives us the hope that we need to sustain our Christian lives, that God is the God of creation, but he is also the God of revelation. He has revealed his will through inspired men in both the Old and New Testaments. He has used words, and when we read those words, Paul says, we can understand them. How that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words, whereby when you read, you may understand my knowledge and the mystery of Christ. And so if you read Ephesians 3:3-5, it becomes very clear that the God of creation is also the God of revelation, and that he has revealed his will to mankind through the pages of the Bible. And Paul says that when we read these words, we can understand them. And we need to spend the time and take the effort to read and study the Bible every day. The Bible speaks about the Bereans who search the scriptures daily. And so we need to become and stay daily Bible students so we can know and understand God's will. And so the God of hope is the God of creation. He is the God of hope because he is the God of creation. Only a divine creator can give us the hope we need. And the Bible presents God as infinite in all of his characteristics and attributes. The God of creation, the God of revelation. He speaks to us through the Bible, and he speaks to us in words that we can understand. The Bible, then, is the complete, full, final, and authoritative word of God. It bears no substitution, and it condemns anyone who will trifle with its contents by adding to or by taking away from the Bible or by modifying it in any way. The Bible stands as the complete, full, and final revelation from God. And because we have a Bible, we can know who God is, we can know who our Savior is, we can know about the church that Jesus built, the one church that he built in the long ago, and we can know for sure that we are members of that church yet today. So we have this hope because God created us. We have this hope because God speaks to us. He is the God of creation. He is the God of revelation. Now, my third point this afternoon or this evening would be the fact that God not only created us, created the universe and everything in it, and that he gave us his word to read and understand, he has also provided a way for us to have every sin that we've ever committed washed away and removed. And so God is the God of creation, number one, the God of revelation, number two, and three tonight, he is the God of redemption. Now this focuses in on why we have this hope. We have this hope because we have forgiveness. The Bible teaches that sin separates us from God, Isaiah 59:1-2. Most people don't take sin very seriously. But the Bible says that sin separates us from God, and the wages of sin is death. Romans 6:23. the just deservings of sin is death. Death in the New Testament, when it is used in the spiritual sense, refers to separation from God. The Bible says that all is sin. Everybody needs Jesus. Everybody needs the Savior. The whole world is guilty, Romans 3:19, before God. All are under sin, Romans 3, verse 9. And all have sinned, fall short of the glory of God, Romans 3:23. The wages of sin is death. You become a sinner by committing sin. Sin is a violation or transgression of God's law, 1 John 3 and verse 4. And the only way we can have our sins removed or blotted out is by the power of the blood of Christ. Listen to these great statements from the Bible. Repent and be baptized for the remission of sins, Acts 2 and verse 38. Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, Acts 22:16. The Bible says under the new covenant that God will remember our sins no more. Hebrews chapter 8, verses 12 and 13. Under the Old Testament, God, there was a remembrance made every year of sin because of animal blood. The animal blood could not absolutely take away sin. And the animal blood that was shed in the Old Testament typified and foreshadowed the coming of Christ and the shedding of his blood. And so there was a remembrance made because it was the atonement was based on animal blood. But under the gospel, under the New Testament of Jesus Christ, the Bible says God will remember our sins no more. And so God is the God of redemption. Our sins can be remitted. They can be washed away. God will remember them no more because of the power of the blood of Christ. Ephesians 1 verse 7, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. So we can be redeemed, our sins can be forgiven. Acts 3 and verse 19, repent and turn again that your sins may be blotted out. And thank God they can be blotted out only by the blood of Christ. God is the God of creation. He created everything, the world and everything in it, the universe and everything in it. He is the God of revelation. He speaks to us. He has given us the Bible so we can read it and understand it. We have a Bible so that we can know that we're saved. Did you know that our salvation can be a matter of assurance? Peter says, make your calling and election sure, 2 Peter 1, verse 10. The Bible teaches us that we can have the full assurance of hope. Remember now, the full assurance of hope, Hebrews 6 and verse 11. God is the God of creation. He's the God of revelation. And he is the God of redemption. Our sins can be blotted out. They can be remitted. God will remember them no more. And they can be washed away. In Revelation 1 verse 5, John the Apostle writes this, that Jesus loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. So the Bible says our sins are washed away by the blood of Christ. Revelation 1 verse 5. But in Acts 22:16, the Bible says, our sins are washed away by water baptism. Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins. Well, which is it? Is it water or the blood of Christ? Well, it's not a contradiction. One verse tells what saves us. The other verse tells when we are saved. What is it that saves us? The blood of Christ. He loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. But when does that blood save us? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the Lord's name. Another passage that will help us understand this is Acts 2:38. Repent and be baptized for the remission of sins. That verse says that baptism is for the remission of sins. When Jesus instituted the Lord's Supper in Matthew 26 and verse 28, he said, this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. And so Acts 2:38 says water baptism remits our sins. And Matthew 26 and verse 28 says the blood of Christ remits our sins. Again, which is it? Well, again, there's no contradiction. One passage tells what saves us. What is it that saves us? The blood of Christ. But when does the blood of Christ save us? When is the blood of Christ applied to our sinful souls? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins. Repent and be baptized for the remission of sins. God is the God of hope because he is the God of redemption. He's not only created us, he's not only given us a Bible so that we can know his will. Jesus says you can know the truth and the truth will make you free, John 8:32. That means we can read and understand God's word. And so the truth becomes the standard then by which we know that we're saved. And we need to consider this very carefully tonight. You need to check the Bible and not take your preacher's word for it and not take your parents' word for it or anybody else's word for it. In fact, don't even take my word for it. But everyone needs to check the Bible and make their calling and election sure. You can open the Bible and you can check everything that I've said this evening by the Bible. And that's what we want you to do in these lessons. I'm sure Tommy would want us to do that, all of us. And so the God of hope, he is the God of hope because he is the God of creation. He is the God of hope because he is the God who speaks. He is the God of revelation. And he is the God of hope because he is the God of redemption. When Adam and Eve sinned, they were cast out of the garden. And every step that God took from Genesis chapter 3, the saddest chapter in the Bible, when Adam and Eve sinned and they were banished from the Garden of Eden, every step that God took was straight to the cross of Jesus Christ. The whole scheme of human redemption unfolds in the Old Testament. There are over 300 prophecies just about Jesus in the Old Testament. How do we know the Bible is God's word? We know the Bible is God's word because of the characteristics and the attributes that it possesses. The Bible has hundreds of prophecies, and these prophecies are made hundreds of years prior to their minute fulfillment in Christ and the New Testament. And so just about Christ, there are over 300 prophecies in the Old Testament. The Old Testament speaks about the fortune and destinies and the rise and fall of nations. The Old Testament speaks about the coming of Christ, the gospel, and the church of Christ. The Old Testament speaks in the future tense about all of these matters. Did you know that Moses, on one occasion, stood before the nation of Israel before his death at the closing chapters of the book of Deuteronomy, and he looks down through 1,500 years of history, and he speaks about Israel's future, and the history of the nation of Israel is actually written in the future tense here by Moses at the close of the book of Deuteronomy. The Bible has attributes and qualities that no other book has. These attributes and qualities prove it to be the book from God, the book from above. And you can take any other book and lay it on a table with the Bible. Only the Bible has these attributes and qualities. The Bible has scientific precision. The Bible has predictive prophecies. The Bible has unaccountable unity. All of these men who wrote the Bible, most Bible writers didn't know each other. And yet, over a period of 1,500 years, the Bible was written. And yet there's absolute harmony and unity in the Bible. How do you account for that? You can only account for that because the Bible is the inspired word of God. And so God is the God of creation. He is the God of revelation. And we can know with absolute certainty that the Bible is from God because of the qualities and the attributes that it possesses. The God of hope is the God of redemption. It is through the blood of Christ that our sins are remitted, blotted out, washed away, and remembered no more. The fourth point this evening, God is the God of hope because he is the God of judgment. One day, each one of us will stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 10, we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ to receive the things done in the body, whether they're good or bad. During his earthly ministry, Jesus spoke about this on numerous occasions. One of the most sobering passages in all the New Testament about the judgment day is John 12 and verse 48. Here it is. Jesus said, he that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The words that I have spoken, the same will judge him in the last day. Clearly then, we need to know what the Bible says. The Bible teaches us how to be saved. It teaches us how to come into the church that Jesus built. It teaches us how to live the Christian life. It teaches us how to go to heaven. The words of the Bible will judge us on the day of judgment. This is very important. That means when we appear before Christ one day, and in Matthew 25, Jesus says that when he comes back, all the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate them one from the other as the shepherd divides the sheep from the goats. And the standard of judgment that he will use will be the word of God. And so we need to know what the Bible says. My wife taught school for a number of years, and as you know, school teachers prepare their students for their exams, and so they give them notes, they give them passages out of books to read or books to study and to get ready for those exams. One day, we will have a final exam, and that final exam will determine our eternal destiny, and we have a standard by which we will be judged, and that standard, according to Jesus, will be the Word of God. It behooves each of us, therefore, to become and stay daily Bible students. There should be no surprises on the day of judgment for Bible students, because we know how Jesus will judge us. He will judge us by His Word. We will not be judged by some creed book. We will not be judged by what the Pope says, or by what some preacher says, or by what some creed book or catechism says. We will not be judged by what the majority of people are doing. We will not be judged by our feelings. In fact, the Bible says there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Proverbs 16 and verse 18. We will be judged by the Word of God, not the majority, not our feelings, not by some preacher, not by a creed book, not by the Pope, not by some so-called holy book written by some uninspired man, but we will be judged by the Word of God. And you and I today live and serve under the New Testament of Jesus Christ. And so we will be judged today by the New Testament. Those who lived under the Old Testament law will be judged by that law. We will be judged by the New Testament of Christ today, John 12 and verse 48. I urge you, therefore, to check what the Bible says with reference to all of the sermons that you might hear on all of these sermons that are being presented in this way. Don't take anybody's word for it, but check the Bible for yourself, because the Bible will be the standard of judgment in the last day. God is the God of hope, because He is the God of creation, He is the God of revelation, He is the God of redemption, and He is the God of judgment. And He will judge us through His Son, Jesus Christ. Paul says that God has appointed a day in the which He will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom He has appointed. He has given assurance unto all men in that He has raised him from the dead. Acts 17, verses 30 and 31, that man is Jesus Christ. And so God will judge us through Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ will judge us through His Word. These passages are Acts 17, verses 30 and 31, and John 12 and verse 48. These principles and these passages are crucial to our eternal destiny. We can have the hope that God offers. He created us. He gave us His Word. He has saved us by the blood of Christ. And one day He will judge us through that Word that He has given us, the Bible. Now, I want to close this evening by pointing out a couple of things for your consideration. If you recall earlier in this lesson, I mentioned that the Bible teaches that we can have the full assurance of hope. That passage is found in Hebrews 6 and verse 11. But now, what is our hope built upon? In Hebrews 11, verse 1, now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. If you couple these passages together, Hebrews 6, verse 11, and chapter 11, verse 1, you will clearly see that our hope is built on our faith. But what is our faith built on? In Romans 10 and verse 17, the Bible says, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Romans 10, 17. So get this clearly now. Our hope is built on our faith. Our faith is built on the Bible, the word of God. And we know the Bible is the word of God because of the evidence that God Himself has provided by giving us a book that has supernatural qualities and attributes that cannot be explained apart from divine inspiration. So your faith is your anchor. It's the anchor of your soul. I'm sorry, your hope is the anchor of your soul, because your hope is built on your faith. Your hope will never be any greater than your faith. And your faith will never be any greater than the knowledge of the Word of God. You know, I appreciate your kind attention to all that we've talked about this afternoon. And I appreciate Tommy's invitation to be a part of this effort. We encourage each person that's listening tonight to become and stay a daily Bible student. And remember, one day, God's Word will judge us. If in this life only, Paul says, we have hope, we are of all men most miserable, 1 Corinthians 15, verse 19. But Paul says we are saved by our hope, Romans 8, 24. Our hope is placed in God, is placed in Jesus, it is placed in the Bible, the Word of God. May God bless each one of us as we continue to strive to do His will each day. Thank you so much tonight for your attention.
Yeah, thank you, Brother Key. That was a powerful message right there. The God of hope, because He's the God of creation, God of revelation, God of redemption, and God of judgment. I don't know about everybody else that was listening, but I felt like I was in school listening to a great instructor. And so many powerful points you made. But one of the things that stands out to me is that final exam. I don't think I want to hit 98 on this one. I want to be 100%. That's one time. On that exam, I want to be 100, and I know to be 100, to score 100, I got to do it the way God said to do it. And everyone on the call can score 100. What will be your final exam, Jess? Great. If you're on the call today, Brother Key has done a powerful job tonight of preaching, teaching about the God of hope, and about the Bible, and all the powerful statements about salvation in there. When we know you're not going to get everything he said in 30 minutes, but it's recorded on our website, and that's HollandHeightsCoc.net, HollandHeightsCoc.net. Go to Nationwide Gospel Call. All of our sermons are there, free to be used by anyone who want to go on there and use them. To our VIPs, those who are not members of Church of Christ, you are the reason we did this call, because we want you to know what we believe in, why we believe in Church of Christ. Our hope and prayer that you will obey before it's eternally too late. Let's pray to God about it. Father, we thank you for your blessings of life. Thank you for Jesus, your only Son, who died on that cross and shedded the blood that will wash our sins away. In baptism, the same blood purchased his church. We thank you for the Bible, your word, and for those men who wrote it, and that were guided by the Holy Spirit, and that we can believe that it's absolutely 100% accurate and true. Thank you that we have it to read and follow the basic instructions that you left us to save our souls. We pray a special prayer for our visitors, those who are not members of the Church of Christ. We thank you that they decided to join us tonight. And we pray that they will receive your word with meekness and understand it's able to save their soul. And they will understand that we in this on this program, all the speakers, we speak the truth in love because we want to be saved. Thank you, Brother Key. We pray for him. And for his ministry and for the elders there that he was served with and the congregation, pray you bless them in a special way. And we thank you for allowing us to meet him, to get to know him, and to hear such a powerful message tonight from him. We love you, Father. Thank you for all you do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. This is Wednesday night on the Week of Hope, speaking about the same thing. 1 Corinthians 13:13. Faith, hope, and love. Greatest of these is love, faith, hope, and charity. That's where we got that from. We're speaking about the same thing, 1 Corinthians 1:10. Paul said, I beseech you that you all speak the same thing. So we're speaking about the same thing, about hope, this week. And tomorrow night, we got those who have no hope. Another good lesson coming up tomorrow night by Brother Andy Irwin from Fayetteville, Tennessee. And then closing us out, Brent Stubblefield from Edmond, Oklahoma. He will talk about the one hope. Two more lessons on hope. We'll move into the third week of love. May God bless you all. Thank you for joining us. I know if you're like me, you're enjoying it and you're being fed. The Word of God is sweet as honey, isn't it? Have a good night.